In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Our text is a lesson just read, and we'd like to especially dwell on its last verse, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. The seminary, pastors, Christian people everywhere are increasingly and sometimes acutely aware that the Christian vision is no longer privileged. This came home to me a while back on a flight from Chicago to Denver. I was sitting there when an obviously intense and successful businessman joined me in the adjacent seat. After liftoff, he was calming his intensity with scotch. And as we crossed into Nebraska, I think he had had three and was just a little higher than the airplane. This stimulated social behavior. And so he looked over at me and he said, "What kind of business you in?" And I looked back at him, right in his eyes, and I said, "I'm a Lutheran pastor." And the look on his face was somewhat like I'd say, said, "I'm a Shiite terrorist, and I'm going to detonate my briefcase." In fact, he looked in such anguish that I said, "You know, I have to ask you, why is this so painful to sit beside a pastor?" And he goes, "Oh," says, "I'm a lapsed Catholic, and priests and pastors, they make me feel guilty and terrible." Well, for a brief time, I tried to invite him to think about pastors as those who were sent to lift his guilt and to plant profound peace in his heart and in his life. Well, the hostility that Peter and John met, the hostility that meets messengers of the gospel today, has the same origin. The prince of this world, in many and various ways, wants guilt to abound. He wants men and women to be guilty before God. Indeed, when you look at Acts and overview the career of the apostles, it seems like an implausible and impossible mismatch. There's a stark and absolute contrast. They begin opposed by the vigorous and lethal structures of Second Temple Judaism that had already put the Prince of Peace to death. And then, as they went out from there, they would face the enormously rich and the tremendously sophisticated culture of the Greco-Roman Empire. Both contexts were surely overwhelmingly powerful. If you've ever had the good fortune of visiting the Holy Land or Ephesus or Athens or Rome, these settings in Acts become all the more real. The world they entered was full of art, full of architecture, full of power and beauty, full of philosophy, full of theology. Gods abounded, and they seemed to deliver to the Roman powers. Arrayed against all that were men, unschooled and ordinary, our text says. And yet these unschooled, ordinary men literally turned that world upside down. Those great kingdoms, those great philosophies can only now field stones for the archaeologist's investigation. While these unschooled, ordinary men, they are heard throughout the earth. And from the Lord's right hand, they can see by his grace saints too numerous to number, both at their side and on earth. How could this be? Unschooled, ordinary men. Our text puts it simply, they had been with Jesus. And I can't resist saying they had been at the seminary. Being with Jesus is what the seminary is all about. This institution, this week, this place, is about his presence, his absolving voice through prophetic and apostolic spokesmen, his real presence in water, wine, and bread. We should take heart and rejoice. Seminarians and deaconess students, pastors, guests, we should be refreshed and renewed by this word, the confession of St. Peter. The living light of Christ radiates in this Epiphany season. The light shines liberally and lavishly upon all of us because St. Peter has gotten it right. He says salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And that name is yours through water and word. And that name gives life and light. How we need it, how our world needs that light and presence of Christ. If I could frame a quick analogy, some years ago, we descended into a part of Carlsbad Caverns National Park, a cave called New Cave, where the ranger would take 20 vacationers down with flashlights, and you'd crawl through mud and see wonderful, undeveloped scenery. And as we reached the bottom of that cave, he invited all of us to turn off our flashlights. And he said, "What you're experiencing now is absolute darkness." He said, "This profound darkness is so disorienting to the human senses that if some cosmic phenomenon caused all of our flashlights to malfunction, even I could not lead us out of this cave." Well, immediately a few flashlights went on. But that, I would suggest, is precisely the condition of fallen humanity. We are in darkness that's not cloudy or mixed with light. We're in absolute, profound, penetrating, deadly, disorienting darkness. Sin, death, the devil, they are there with thick and dark shadows everywhere. And Peter names that darkness. He names it by saying there is no other place where the light can shine but from the Christ. There is no other place for salvation, life, and light but Christ. And I still recall coming up from that cave, the radiance, the brilliance of the desert sun coming in through the cave's opening. And how much more is not the light of Christ radiant in your life and mine? By ourselves within, there's darkness. Without, there's no more light there than within. But in Christ, there is life and light that goes on forever. Today, not a few pastors and not a few Christians look at the global powers, from the internet to Islam, and they are discouraged and sometimes despair. They even entertained the idea that there are other ways to God, to the light. But there is no such discouragement and no despair in Peter's confession. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. These are the words of one who's been with Jesus. Or better, these are the words of one with whom Jesus has spent time. And we can rejoice, for he is with us. All that he has bestowed in his holy crucifixion and resurrection, he gives freely. So we speak this confession first to ourselves. We have seen the light, and everything else is darkness. And we will radiate that life with our very lives. For it is God's absolution in our sin, and it invites the world to that grand absolution. The light of Jesus' presence will illumine us now in every dark moment, and it will burn brightly even as we are dying. If only my neighbor on the airplane had heard that confession early, he might never fear, but he might love a pastor. Fear belongs to the darkness and the death-dealing powers of Satan. God's light has driven out our fear, and may the Lord send us forth with Peter's confession ringing throughout our soul and on our lips to announce to this world that there's one source of light, and it's free and it's wonderful. And when it shines upon you, you worship, and you live, and you confess, and you go forth to God confidently. And Islam and the internet are nothing. Christ is everything. And may we, by God's grace, courageously confess with St. Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.